The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Mark. One of the scribes came near and heard them disputing with one another. And seeing that Jesus had answered them well, he asked him, "Which commandment is first of all?" Jesus answered, "The first is, 'Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength.' The second is this: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these." Then the scribe said to him, "You are right, teacher. You have truly said that he is one, and besides him there is no other. And to love him with all the heart and with all the understanding and with all the strength, and to love one's neighbor as oneself. This is much more important than all whole burnt offerings and sacrifices." When Jesus saw that he answered wisely, he said to him, "You are not far from the kingdom of God." After that, no one dared to ask him any question. The Gospel of the Lord. Let us pray. God, help us to love you with our whole hearts, our whole souls, our mind, our strength, to love one another as we love ourselves, to love ourselves as we love one another, to keep these principles at the core of all that we do. Amen. Throughout the Gospels, Jesus and the scribes found themselves at odds with one another over a number of different issues. The scribes, those who hand-wrote Torah scrolls and were experts on their content, but their conflict with Jesus was set up from the very beginning of the Gospel of Mark. In the very first chapter of Mark, when Jesus began his earthly ministry, the gospel says that all who heard Jesus were astounded at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. Ouch. The contrast is made and continues to be developed throughout the gospel between scribes who question why Jesus does things that seem to be in violation with the law, such as eating with tax collectors and sinners, or eating without ritual hand washing, healing on the Sabbath, with an authority that seems to supersede the mandates themselves. And the scribes would know. They were the ones who wrote these laws over and over again. The scribes' criticisms of Jesus highlight the ways he has violated the law. In Matthew's gospel, Jesus responds to them with no shortage of his own criticisms, calling them hypocrites, counting the ways in which their focus on details, on the letter of the law, keeps them from living into its spirit. "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you tithe mint, dill, and cumin and have neglected weightier matters of the law, justice and mercy and faith. It is these you ought to have practiced without neglecting the others." And while he doesn't hold back, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are like whitewashed tombs, which on the outside look beautiful, but inside they are full of the bones of the dead and all kinds of filth." It's not actually all that hard to understand why they don't like Jesus very much. But the story in this morning's gospel is unique, because the scribe in this story does something very different in his encounter with Jesus than the others that Jesus meets in the Gospels. The scribe stands and listens to Jesus as he debates with the Sadducees, not jumping in with his own thoughts, just listening. He finds himself impressed by what he's hearing, and when the moment comes, he asks his own question. Which commandment is the first of all? And Jesus responds to him with the commandment, much like what we heard in the reading from Deuteronomy this morning. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. This commandment, known as the Shema, is a prayer central to Jewish prayer life and identity, said at morning and evening prayers, and per the instructions from this passage from Deuteronomy. These are the words found on parchment that you see inside a mezuzah that you see on the doorpost of Jewish homes. And for the second commandment Jesus names, he recites a commandment from the book of Leviticus, one we've come to call the golden rule, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. And then the most surprising thing happens. The scribe agrees with him. The scribe recites the commandments he knows so well back to Jesus and says that these commandments are more important than all burnt offerings and sacrifices. And Jesus tells him he's not far from the kingdom of God. Then everyone around them is stunned into silence. For these two people, Jesus, who has criticized the scribes, and a scribe who has been opposed to the work of Jesus, in this moment find common ground and discover something remarkable. They actually agree with one another. There's a lesson here for effective communication across difference. Communication with those we assume we could never agree with. This passage gives us some key components of how we could do this. The first line we hear is that one of the scribes came near. The scribes had been criticizing Jesus based on secondhand reports about what he'd been saying. It's easy to criticize from a distance. Honestly, this is what has made social media so complicated, because it is so easy to attack and tear down people from behind a keyboard. There's nothing at stake for you. You don't have to see the face of the person you're hurting. You can say whatever you want and then go on with your day, never having to listen to what the other person might say. But this one scribe didn't stay at a distance. He drew near. He came to Jesus to listen to what he had to say. Which brings us to the second important thing the scribe did. He listened. He listened to Jesus as he spoke with the Sadducees. He listened without having to be the first one to speak, open to what he might hear, without having his mind made up in advance of what that would be. And when the time came, he asked a question. That's the third important thing to notice. He asked a question. He was curious. The Gospels don't hesitate to let us know when people are asking questions of Jesus because they are trying to trick him. It says that directly in the text in many cases, but it doesn't say that here. It seems the scribe was asking Jesus a genuine question. He really wanted to know what Jesus was going to say. Then we come to Jesus' response. He wasn't defensive. He didn't assume the worst of the scribe's question. He answered him. He engaged with him. He spoke the scribe's language, did it on the scribe's own terms, speaking to him in ways he would understand, using scriptures that were central to the scribe's identity, words the scribe knew so well. And Jesus went beyond the first commandment to name the second most important as well, to love one's neighbor as oneself. And after the scribe listens to him, he says, "You're right." I'm guessing no one standing there that day saw that coming. The scribe realizes in that moment that he and Jesus actually agree on what the core of their faith is about. Jesus isn't criticizing temple practice just to cause trouble, but he's calling out ways that those practices had become more important in some cases than those core components of faith, loving God and loving neighbor. The scribe makes a connection with what Jesus was saying, repeats it back to him, reflexive listening before that was ever named as a communication strategy, and then agrees that this is more important than burnt offerings and sacrifices. The scribe acknowledges the core value that he and Jesus share, that loving God and loving others is more important than ritual practice. And I hear a smile in Jesus' words as he says to the scribe, "You're not far from the kingdom of God. You get it. This is exactly what I've been saying. This is exactly what it's all been about." He affirms the scribe, and the crowd is stunned. Drawing near instead of keeping a distance, listening, remaining curious, asking questions, speaking in ways the other can understand, being willing to answer questions without becoming defensive, using words the other can hear and understand, acknowledging agreement and common ground, naming shared values, affirming one another. It's an incredible model for how we might communicate with one another if we took the time to do so. If we took the risk to be curious, not judgmental. This way of communicating makes being in conversation possible across any kind of difference. It's a way of engaging that doesn't force us to agree on everything. It's a way of communicating that puts loving one another above all the other things that might get in the way and distract us. We would do well, as 21st century people of faith, to take these methods to heart. It's so easy to identify when we don't agree with someone and to criticize their viewpoints and ultimately them for holding these views. But what would it be like to find ourselves in our conversations drawing near to others, being curious rather than rushing to judgment, listening to one another, finding common ground, shared values, affirming one another? What if we showed the world that this kind of conversation was possible? I think, like the crowd that day, there'd be no shortage of people stunned to silence. And we might just discover a new way to love. Amen.